Let's start. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. As we get ready to open up this book of Ecclesiastes, Lord, and we do this study, Lord, it's us doing what we've done through the book of Ephesians, and that is putting it to practice. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, may we be a people that is constantly allowing your word to be a lamp and a light unto our feet. Lord, we need your word. God, as we'll see in a minute, Father, this world causes us, it brings us to a point that we just don't know what to say. Father, as I had multiple people texting me with that of the death of the young man that is such a vocal person, Lord, someone that is willing to speak the gospel on a stage that Lord, that was very loud. God, all I can say is that we have to be reminded that life is brief. Lord, there's no one guaranteed tomorrow. Father, the one thing we can do is we can look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 and remind ourselves that we don't weep as someone that has no hope. Father, I one day will see my brother again. He claimed to be a believer. And so, Father, I pray you be with that family. Lord, I pray you be with that of Jeff and his family. God, whatever the outcome may be, we know you're a God that is in complete control. Lord, this day did not surprise you. Tomorrow will not. You already know what will take place. And so, Father, we believe you are the healer, the great healer, and we believe that you can do mighty things. So, Father, I pray whatever may be done, that, Lord, you will receive the glory. Father, you tell us all things are good. And so, Father, even in that, we have to look and we have to see and we have to look and know that you are a good Father. And so, Lord, you bring us through the good days. You bring us through the bad days. And Lord, I pray and I want to say thank you for that of what you've done through our brother Fred and you continue to do. Lord, I know he had his surgery today and God, I just pray, Lord, may you continue to heal his body. Lord, continue to be with him. And then the one that lost his life unexpectedly, Father, I pray you be with that family. That Lord, that you will heal, Lord, you will come alongside. And Father, if they're not believers, if they are believers, Lord, that your name will be exalted. Father, as I was able to do this past Saturday, Lord, as you see a loved one that's lost, that lost their life, God, a believer that has died, Lord, what a great day not to preach a funeral, but Lord, to share the gospel. Because Lord, we're reminded that there's no sting in death for a believer. And so God, I just pray, may you continue to allow us to shine bright, Lord, even through the death, Lord, that you are Lord, that you are still on your throne. You're still in control. And Father, you're still mighty to save. And Lord, we love you. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Very good. So, Rob, are you good? Good. Hallelujah. I do know how to use Google Meets. So, tonight what I want to do is I want to just do the introduction. We were going to try to do it a little different. I was just going to handle the introduction tonight and try to do chapter one with everyone in here. But my bride, she has decided that, and I'm glad that she would take she would do equal to what I'm doing. And so she's down there with the ladies. And so up here, we are here. And so tonight I'm going to introduce it. All right. I'm going to do the introduction and then I'm going to do, chapter 1 verses 1 through 11. All right. And so that means I will talk fast. That means I will try to share as much as I can, but listen to me. Ultimately, my goal here is just really to whet the appetite, all right, to cause you to want to go home, either grab one of these books or to go home and open up God's word and go, wait a minute, that's pretty cool. For instance, here's just a complete side note. This is my ADD at action, okay? Today, as I was trying to just gather all of my thoughts, I don't know if you know, but the word vanity is hevel in the Hebrew language, okay? Did you know that is the same name for Abel? All right. And so Abel, she would have named him Abel. And therefore, there would have been a picture of the brevity of life, or life is brief. I find that amazing. I find that pretty awesome. So there's things that you dig as you're digging and you're searching. You're using your blue letter Bible or you're using your commentaries. I don't know what you use. We've already done a study, the Bible class. Go back and look at the grasping God's word and go and learn how to study God's word if you don't know how to do that. But tonight, as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm going to cover the who, what, when, where, why, because in observation, as we begin a journey in a book, I think you need to know those answers. I think you need to ask those, okay, so who wrote this book? Well, traditionally, The author that has been attributed to this book is a man named Solomon. At the very beginning in verse 1, he calls himself the preacher, or another Hebrew word, which would be, hold on a second, I'm going to give it to my best shot, Koheleth, which is going to be Q-O-H-E-L-E-T-H. That's going to be the Hebrew word, which it refers to that of being a teacher or that of a preacher, all right? And so because of the references that it gives to that of Solomon, because at the very beginning of verse 1, it says, son of David, king in Jerusalem, all right? So we see then who wrote it. The one that wrote it was Solomon. He calls himself the preacher. And I thought this to be fascinating as well. When you start talking about that, the word Koheleth, all right, if I'm giving it the best I can, it means the one who gathers an assembly. And so what you find here in the book of Ecclesiastes, when you start looking at the word Ecclesiastes, it is actually translated from the Greek, all right, which means ekklesia or an assembly or congregation. And so what we have here is we have here in the New Testament church, the word church. And so what he's done is he's a man that is bringing a message for a gathered people. And I thought that was interesting. So what he's done is he's brought together a group of men, just like we've done tonight. We've brought together a group of men, or we brought together a group of people, and he's here to not give a message in secret. No. He's here to proclaim publicly, hey, this is what didn't work. Hey, this is what did work. Hey, and remember, he was a man that was of great wisdom. He was a very wise man, even though we find that he tried to find pleasure in all different ways. He was a teacher of wisdom who draws lessons from his own life. And I love that. I like talking to older men or wise men that gives you lessons from their life. My grandfather, I'll never forget this one. Although you're like, well, that ain't very wise, but I'm just telling you, this is where he's at. Ready? He told me the one day that you stop learning is the day that you need to stay at home and drink root beer and eat bonbons. All right. And you're like, well, that's weird. All right. But what he was telling me is that he knew of an old age that every day is a learning day. Every day you're learning something new. Every day you're growing in that of the knowledge. And so he's also someone who's not just speaking privately. He's proclaiming a very loud message. And so we would ask ourselves this question. So why does this matter to us as a group of men? Why does this matter to us? Solomon isn't just, listen to this, journaling his thoughts. He's preaching them to us. He's not just writing down some thoughts. What he's doing is he's saying, you know what? Here, I want to tell you, this is what's taking place. He's not just giving you the good. He's giving you his failures. He's reflecting. His reflections are meant to be proclaimed lessons and not hidden ones. And men should see this study as if Solomon is standing in the pulpit saying, you ready, guys? Listen up. I've lived it, and here's the truth. I've done it. I've already done this. It didn't work. And so he's trying to proclaim that just as he would through the book of Proverbs. Hey, you ready? Listen, son, give me your ear. Let me pour this wisdom into you. Hey, seek wisdom or you'll have folly. And so Solomon calls himself the preacher because he's not whispering these truths in secret. He's proclaiming them loudly for everyone to hear. And it's like he's calling an assembly of men, setting us down and saying, you ready? I've done it all. Let me tell you what actually matters. And I like that in that because we do have to remind ourselves we can get into this, and we'll hear this word over and over, this monotony of that of you wake up, you go to work, you come home, you watch TV, you go to bed, you wake up, you go to work, you come home, you watch TV, you go to bed, you wake up, you go to work. And you ask yourself, what is the purpose of life? What is life? Why do I continue to do this? And when you have no purpose, then you begin to do stupid things like they've done today to that, to that young man. Or we do the thing like we did on that of a train in Charlotte. We have no purpose. And when we teach our kids, here's for us as ones that has kids, when we don't teach our kids the purpose of life, they grow up believing there is no purpose. And so then we ask the question, not the who wrote it. We already know that. We already know the why. Well, then we ask the question, when was it written? Well, it was written around 940 to 930 BC. They believe that it was written near the end of his life. So therefore, man, he's just compiling all that he had to share with the people in those last days of his life. The why was it written was to show that life lived under the sun without God is meaningless. Life lived under the sun without God is meaningless. You and I, we have purpose when our lives are found to be that of in Christ. We have purpose then. Why? Well, because now I'm a new creature. I'm not blind. I'm not blinded by the God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. I'm not a child of disobedience. No, I'm now a child of the King. And we know, according to Ephesians, I rest in the complete work of Christ. And now I go because of what he's done for me. I have purpose. I tell football teams all the time, or sports teams, as I go to share with them, I wake up every day to win. Well, because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have purpose in life. All right. And you too should have purpose within your life. And so we asked the other question, which I thought this was interesting, from where did he write it? And they would believe likely Jerusalem, all right? Likely only because that would be where he identifies himself as king, and that's where the king would be, all right? The big picture, Ecclesiastes, is Solomon looking back over his life saying these words, I tried it all, wealth, women, work, wisdom, and without God, it's all empty. He's tried it all. And I love that, to be reminded of that. And again, as you sit down with wise individuals, people that are willing to speak truth to your life, you'll find they too will say the same thing many times. Hey, listen, I've already done that. I remember growing up, I had a good friend. I'd seen him as a dad, a second dad. And he would tell me those words, hey, that's dumb. You shouldn't do that. But yeah, you know, ready? You know what we would still do? We'd still do it. So here's the crazy thing. You ready? We can go through this whole Bible study and we can talk about how life is meaningless without Christ, it's without purpose, and there'll still be us humans, all right, because that's how we are. We'll still mess up, we'll still fall on our face. But the good thing is, as a believer, it's Christ that picks us back up, washes us off, puts us back on the right path, and then we continue our journey. It's the ones that's in this room that's lost. That is the ones that will try harder, and they'll continue to try harder only to find out that they'll continue to fall because they don't have the one that has given them purpose. Christ is the one. The Spirit of God in you is what gives you that purpose. And so what we want to do is I want to ask you this hard question. We want to start with this question. What are you building your life on? Now you answer that to yourself. I'll ask it again and I'll pause for a moment, which I rarely do. What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? Think about it. You ought to be able to answer that. What are you building your life on? Today, as he would have had his life taken from him, they've only made a very loud martyr, is what they've done. Because he has built his life on what? Speaking truth. Now that being truth in the political world and that being truth both of the gospel. He was very plain speaking. And so for us, I ask you the question, what are you building your life on? We're all chasing something, all right? Everybody in this room is chasing something. We're either chasing success in our jobs, we may be. We're chasing respect from others. We see that on social media platforms. We see that in whatever platform that you might be. We're seeking respect, or we're chasing that. We're chasing financial security. If I could only just get a little bit more. If I only could just get a little bit more. Here's something I heard an older gentleman say the other day. If I can just get a little bit more, and then I'm going to retire. And then I can live my life. Well, I ask you the question, ready? What if you don't get to that point? Why not live your life now with purpose and with the design that God has given for it? Because if you wait till you're 62, you wait till you're 68, 72, you don't have the life to do what God has called you to do. And so we're all chasing these things, or maybe we're just chasing comfort and ease. And once I get enough, then I will, and you can go blank, 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 blank. Once I get enough, then I will do this. Once I get enough, then I'll serve the Lord. Once I get enough, man, I'll be, no. But Ecclesiastes is brutally honest. If we're all living for what, listen to this, if we're all living for is what's under the sun, it's meaningless. It's all gone. I don't know if you know this or not, but the day that you draw your last breath, everything that's left behind is sorted amongst the heathen. All right? And I'm kind of joking with that. But really, it's just all, I can remember when my great-grandfather died. My great-grandfather died when he was 93. He was born in 1900. I was able to remember everybody that because that was easy. But I remember the day that they threw dirt on his casket. And when they were throwing dirt on his casket, I remember my dad had aunts and uncles that were already in their vehicle running to the house so that they could go grab stuff. It's meaningless. It's useless. But yet we too are guilty of storing up. We too are guilty of building up. We too are guilty of working hard for things that are meaningless. And this book, while it's not depressing, it is very freeing. And that's what I love about the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, listen to this, Solomon, the wealthiest, wisest, most powerful man of his day, ran the experiment. We're all tempted to try. You ready? Here's one that we're all willing to try. You go in, you buy the lottery ticket, and you just know, man, if I could win this one, if I could win big, baby, it would all be good. Only to find out that majority of them people that win that money, 5 years later, they're dirt poor. Why? Because the proverb says that if you don't know how to work for it, you don't know how to keep it. But yet we go in and we buy. Yet we go in and we buy. Yet we go in and we buy. Because we know that if we could just hit it rich, man, you ready? If I had money, if I had women, if I had power, if I had success, if I had influence, then I would have it all. But the problem is you ready, guys? The conclusion is this: it's all empty without God. It's all empty. I love seeing the tales of two cities. And I'm not going to mention names because it doesn't matter. But I know two gentlemen, one is dead and the other one's alive. Both had lots of money. One lived a miserable life. One lived a life that was, but yet he wanted more and more and more and more. And you ready, guys? And then you got this other guy. He has lots of money. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. And you know what? He just wants to give it away. He just gives it away. He finds joy in that of doing what? Being used by God. And you ready? It's same thing. Both have got plenty of money, but one is just being governed by that of the purpose that was given to him by God. He knows that God has given it to him, and so therefore, what is he going to do? He's going to glorify God with it. And so while I speak of things and having things and obtaining things, while those are not bad in themselves, it's just bad when that's all you're chasing because you come up short. You come up short. Summary is this, so this study is for men who want their lives to matter, not just for today, but for eternity. That's what I want my life to matter. I don't care about today. What I want to know is what's going to be remembered of me 30 years from now. What impact will my life have on my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids? What impact? When I get to the other side, because there is going to be day, everybody in this room is going to die unless he returns. And I hope he returns. But you know what? He's got a sense of humor because I pray for that often. And I beg God not to have to go through like first dates and then a marriage. And I'm still going through all of that. And so good luck. All right. But there is a day that he's going to return. But today, for right now, we all know that we're going to die. My question to you, are you working for these words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I promise you, being well done, thou good and faithful servant, is not just someone that shows up on Sunday, every Sunday, and just fills your bottom in a pew. That's not well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's a well done, thou good and faithful servant is someone, like I wrote in the newsletter last month, someone that realizes that the job that you have is a platform that God has provided, and you use that platform for the glory of God. So now, you ready? Every day, you're serving the Lord. Every day, you're seeking that of, you ready? Of any way that I can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. If we stick with this study, I promise you, I believe God is going to challenge every one of us. He's going to stretch us. He's going to show us that true purpose is only found in Him. Now, some of us is already saying, well, duh, I already know that. But my question is does your whole life reflect that? See, we can say we know something, but my question is does your life reflect that? See, God's Word, it's crazy. As you grab one of them books, if you want one of those books, in the front, it's going to teach you how to study God's Word. I think we've got a ton of people in our churches today that knows a lot about God's Word, all right? A lot about God's Word, but they don't ever apply it to their lives. You got a lot of head knowledge, but you don't have anything that's applicable. You're not living out the Word, all right? And when you and I live out the Word, that means that the Word has had an impact within our lives. And so what happens is I'm going to encourage you, don't just show up, engage, wrestle with the questions that we ask, because all of us will be asking questions. Let God's Word, listen guys, let God's Word cut through the noise of this world. I really like that. Let God's Word cut through the noise of this world. Look at the job where you're currently working at. Think about what you're currently doing day in, day out. Think, are you ready? Am I being used by God? Am I just seeking wealth, or am I really living for the Lord? And could God do this in my life, or could God do that with my life? Let the noise of this world be cut away, because Romans 12:2 says this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. See, that's cutting away the world. But what the world says, live the American dream. The world says, go and do great things for that of God. Hey, not God. Go do good things for your name's sake. But what I'm telling you, ready? What the world would say is, hey, you ready? Transform your life by the renewing of God's Word. So that why? So that you can go and do great things for God. Because remember, you didn't get your life saved. It was God that saved your life for you to go do great things for Him. Just think about that. So you're living for the King now. You're not living for yourself. But the more you're in God's Word, the more uncomfortable you'll be, or you should be, because it's God's Word that challenges us. Because when you find your purpose in Him, guys, I'm telling you, it changes everything. I was a 30-year-old man. This ain't in my notes, but we're going to go there. I was a 30-year-old man, and as I was a 30-year-old man, I remember I wrestled with that of the call on my life. I remember that. I remember when my wife and I had just got married. I'm driving from Greensboro because we lived in Chapel Hill. She was going to Chapel Hill. I know, bless our hearts. But she was going to Chapel Hill, and we was driving home to Wilkesboro, and I looked over at her and I said, honey, I think that God is calling me to be a pastor. And she would say these words, I didn't marry no pastor. And then I just said, okay. And we just kept on driving. You know why? Because I knew we both needed to be, it had to be both of us. My dream as a young man would be that I'd have plenty of money. My brother would dig my ditches and mow my yard, and my sister would clean my house. And I told them that. I said that to them. And so at the age of 30, I was a plant manager. Shouldn't have been there, only by the grace of God. I learned a lot being a plant manager. But I was a plant manager responsible for 200 plus people, for millions of dollars worth of inventory. We built windows and doors for two shifts. We would ship them all over the Southeast. I would go to Minnesota. We would test windows for hurricane ratings. Guys, I was all about making money. And whenever God began to call on my life, I said, no. But you see, without purpose, are we really living a life worth living? Or are you living with purpose? And so for me, what I began to deal with at the age of 30 was, okay, Lord, is this true? And so for 6 months, man, it was just a battle. And so then I would look at Melanie and I would say, hey, honey, I really thank God. And she would say, hey, I agree. I do believe that as well. Why? Well, because she was able to see that as well. And guys, I'm telling you, your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be living with purpose. What is your purpose? The summary of this introduction would be this: life down here can feel empty and repetitive. And it does. Life does feel empty. But I promise you, with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't think I'm ever feel like I'm alone. All right. You're like, well, that's kind of weird. No, it's not. It's like, I'm okay. I know where I am. I know who I belong to. But down here, it feels like we're just chasing the wind. Success, money, pleasure, and even knowledge can't give us real meaning apart from God. Life has its ups and downs, and it does, y'all. Today's been a bad day. Today, Saturday was a bad day for me. Sunday was a great day. Saturday, I did a funeral, and Sunday night, I did a pastor ordination service. All right, amazing. You go from one day, you're celebrating death, and the next day, you're putting a man into a position that is a very high calling. It's amazing. We have ups and downs, but that God has placed His plan for us on that day at that time. Deep down, we all long for something more because God put eternity in our hearts. Deep down, we do long for more. If we're all honest, we would all say that we do long. I long for more. I want to do more. Well, because why? Because we're made in the image of God. That's according to Genesis chapter 1. He said, let us go down, let us make man in our image. We're in that image. And so eternity has been placed in our hearts. And at the end of the day, the answer is clear. Fear God, follow Him, and that's where true purpose is found. Fear God, follow Him, and that is where true purpose is found. And so that's the introduction. That's awesome. And so now what we do is we look at the book of Ecclesiastes and we start asking ourselves those questions. Okay, then if that's what we need to be doing, then what is it that Solomon is teaching us? What is it that the Spirit of God, remember, it would be the Spirit of God speaking through that of Solomon as these things were being written. So what is it the Spirit of God that is trying to teach you and me as a man? As, are you ready? As that of a single man, as that of a father, as that of a single man, as that of a grandfather, as that of a, you got it. What is it that the book is trying to teach me? Because remember, we say this all the time, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is it really? Because if it is, then it ought to affect the way that we're walking. It ought to affect the way that we look at life. I look at life with a different lens now. I value life. And so the theme here for chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 is this. Life under the sun is empty without God. Life under the sun is empty without God. And what takes place is you get verses 1 through 3, and then you get verses 4 through 8a. Be careful with that because I think they did a poor job with that of the verse distinction, but we'll talk about that when we get there. And then you have from that of 8 to that of verse 11. And we want to break it down in that fashion. And so I'm going to read, and I'll read that section, and then we'll come back and we'll try to talk about it. Verse 1 of chapter 1. He says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Vanity is vanity. Solomon introduces himself, as we already talked about, as the preacher, as the assembler, or as the teacher. He's someone that has brought together a group of people, and he begins to talk about what life was like without that of God and what life is like that with God. And he starts out by saying these words, which you'll find it all through. And I went through the book of Ecclesiastes. I'd encourage you to do it. Just underline the word vanity or vanities. It's amazing. You'll find it all through, sometimes one time in the chapter, sometimes multiple times within a chapter. And the word vanity is the word hevel. All right. It's H-B-E-L, but the B sounds like a V. All right. So it's hevel in that of the Hebrew language. And what it says here is he's saying vapor, or it's like a breath of hot air. I don't know if you're out, it's getting ready to be cool. I love cool. As a fat guy, cold weather is awesome. All right. So we wear our jackets. That's right. So in that, you ready, guys? You breathe out that breath of air and you see that vapor come out. That is the way our life is. I don't care how old you are. Mr. Martin, can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 82.
82, all right? I'm 50. Hunter. No, Mr. James. How old, young man? 10. Y'all, we go from 10 to 80 plus, all right? Now just think about this. Mr. Martin, can I ask you a question? Does this life seem like it just blinked by? And so now here, young men, you got your 20-somethings. And what you would have to be asking yourself now, because I promise you, it is a blink of an eye. You go from being 20 to 50 in a blink of an eye. I remember my dad telling me these words, make the most of this time, Scott, with your kids, because it's going to go by fast. And I would say, hogwash. These days are terrible. Wiping up puke and cleaning dirty diapers. And you ready? What I would go back for to wipe up some more puke. What I'd do to go back and change a diaper. What I'd love to do. Huh?
The days are long, but the years are short.
They are. They are. Life is like a vapor. And what takes place is Solomon is saying here, he's saying, listen, vanity of vanities. Hold on. And if you really want to go dig deeper, and I'd encourage you to go do this, really this word vanity is not the proper word that needs to be used here. Really, the word meaningless would be a better word, or purposelessness, or even futile. Because what happens is this word vanity is used all through the King James book of Ecclesiastes. And in reality, that isn't really the right word every time it's used, because while the word hevel is there, the word hevel, while it means brief vanity or a brief or a breath or fleeting, really it carries a different meaning. Even like in chapter 8, I think it's chapter 8 and verse 14, he starts talking about how it's vanity for that of someone that is righteous, all right, to be treated the way they're being treated, while someone that's done wrong is being able to do what they do. Life is just fleeting. Life is just a breath and it's away. James would tell us that life is like a vapor. You're here one day and you're gone the next. He's 31 years old is how old he was when he died. And I promise you, he did not wake up this morning going, hey, I think I'll die today. Life is brief. And what he does here is he reminds this congregation, I would remind you as well, that listen, while vanity of vanities, and he says, saith the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. All is meaningless for that of what's under the sun. What is not meaningless, and I'll pause right here for a minute, what's not meaningless is what takes place maybe at the gas pump, what takes place, I don't know, maybe at your workplace, what takes place maybe at your home, what takes place maybe with your neighbor, what takes place, and that's this, you ready? When you and I are faithfully sharing the gospel. That's not meaningless. That's taking our lives and being a usable vessel. Last night I had a wonderful conversation. Don't remember the young man's name. All I know is he pulled up beside the gas pump and I'm beside the gas pump. And listen, you ready? If I've got someone as a captive audience, then why not let's have a conversation? You're like, man, it's so uncomfortable. It is. That's right. It is. But man, the eternality of a soul is huge. I'll ask you the question. You ready? When was the last time you looked at an individual and just imagined on their forehead the words hell bound? Do you have a proper view of hell? Maybe that's why you don't share the gospel. You ready? All is not vanity when a life is being used for that of the glory of God. And what takes place is if I have a proper view of hell and that hell is eternal and that the soul will go there one day of a man that's lost, then you ready? Then it's going to cause me to want to go to that individual and say, hey, can I ask you a question? Not do you go to church, because that don't mean jack squat. Who cares if they go to church? There's going to be a ton of people that go to church, y'all, that's going to die and go to hell. That's sad. That's even more sad, because that means that they sit in our pew every Sunday and they're willing to hear the gospel. They're willing to believe that they have faith, but yet their life don't reflect none of that. That's scary. And so not all is meaningless. Not all is purposelessness. Not when you and I are using this life that God has given to us with purpose. The key ideal here that he's trying to portray to them or trying to share with them is this. What gain is there in life apart from God? What gain is there in life apart from God? What he's trying to show this congregation is, you ready? Is the answer is none. There's nothing. I remember one night when we lived in Miller's Creek, I was on my hobby farm. Anybody in this that's farmers, I'm respectful of your position, okay? I was a hobby farmist. And so on this hobby farm, I'm going out one night. It's like 11:30 at night. I'm going to feed the goats. Man, as a preacher, sometimes, man, the chickens went with frozen water all day long. It just did, y'all. And I had some to die. Please beg me for forgiveness. So I beg for forgiveness. But as I'm out there one night, I look up in the stars and I remind myself that, you ready? That all of this is vanity. If I was to die right now, you ready? All of this means nothing. What matters is like Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, where he says, you ready, guys? Check this out. All spiritual blessings are where? Are in heavenly places. Or what matters is, just ask the question, is when you and I get to the judgment seat of Christ as a believer, because yeah, praise God, you got your get out of hell free card. But the question is what are you doing with that card? Because one day you are going to be in heaven, and one day you are going to be for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He is going to present to you, because He says, jewels and crowns, all right, or hay, wood, and stubble. It just depends on what you did and how you did it. Did you do it in the name of Christ, or did you do it in the name of Scott? That's purpose. You have purpose in life. Every day I want to work for the King. Every day I want to work for the Lord. Every day. And you say, well, that's easy for you. You're a pastor. No, it's not. It's the same for you as it is for me, because I assure you it's very easy for a pastor, if he wanted to, he could just go hide in his office and not get out in the community and do nothing. He can just go in his office and hide. He can go home, he can come to his office, and he can preach on a Sunday, and then he can be, you know, hurried out with his security detail. Oh, we know a lot of people like that. And then you're right, and then hide. No, it's the same. I live in the same community that you live in. Think of steam rising from a coffee cup. That steam comes up, although I don't drink a lot of hot coffee. Mine's cold or old. All right, it's real, but it's gone in seconds. And guys, listen, that's life without God. Everything is done without that of God. It is purposeless. It is meaningless. But listen to me, the things we do in the name of the Lord, the things we do for the glory of God, those things have purpose. That's why, listen to me, we encourage you, show up for missions. Hey, we encourage you to support the missions. Hey, I encourage the Sunday school teachers this past Sunday. Hey, get your class involved. Why? Because we need to be on the mission field. He says, what in Acts 1:8? Oh, that's right. He says, I've given you the Spirit of God to go do what? To be witnesses. You're like, Pastor Scott, man, you go during the week. I can't do that. Well, I'd ask you, do you pray for us? The power of prayer is amazing. And so we find then that the setting of the stage is this. He says, listen, what profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? It's purposeless. You work and you work and you work and you work only to die. And it's nothing. And then we see in verse 4, what takes place? He begins to talk about the cycles of life. One generation passeth away and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. A generation comes, a generation goes. A generation comes, a generation goes. But you know what remains? The earth. It's still, hey, you ready? One generation moves into a house. I don't know if you ever do this, but this is just, I guess, the way my mind works. But as you drive down the road and you see these old houses, these abandoned houses, just think about all the Christmases that were celebrated in that house. Just think about, there was a time where, you know, they brought home that newborn baby, and man, they celebrated the birth of that baby, or maybe they had the baby in the house. Just think about all the things, but yet you look at that house is abandoned, it's gone, it's done, the roof has fallen in. Ready? A man worked hard for that house. A man probably built that house by his hands, some of these older homes, only to do what? Only to be fallen in and to be decaying. One generation comes, another generation goes. One generation comes, another generation goes. But what remains? The earth remains. He says that in verse 4. Watch what he does in verse 5. The sun also comes up, or ariseth, and the sun goeth down. But now watch this. It's not so much about the sun coming up and the sun going down, although that does become kind of monotonous, because remember, it does every day. And you know what? We take that for granted, because we just assume the sun will come up and the sun will go down. But ultimately, it is God, the one that causes that come up and come down. But that's not the purpose behind that of the teacher, or behind that of the preacher. What he wants you to see is, he wants you to see the next part. And it hasteth to its place where he arose. The sun comes up, the sun comes down. But notice this, while the sun rises and the sun sets, all right, what we've got to realize is, it's like a runner running a race. It's just constantly running. I don't know. I don't run, as you can tell. Yeah, as you can tell. And my daughter, she runs. I don't understand it. I told her, baby, I promise you, if I'm ever outrunning you, you're dead. That means there's something bad coming behind me. All right? But I just don't run. But imagine, as you're thinking about this, that is kind of how our life is. It's just a constant repetition. It's a constant running. We're just chasing after. And you ready, guys? And there's really no end to it. The sun just keeps coming up and it keeps going down. It keeps coming up, keeps going down. It's just a constant cycle. There's no end to it. Is that how your life is? Is that how your life is being currently run? He not only talks about the sun rising and the sun setting, but then he talks about that of the wind. Watch what he does in verse 6. And the wind goeth. The wind goeth towards the north and towards the south, or the south and the north. He talks about the sun being from east to west. He talks about the wind being north to south. And it whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again according to his circuits. It's just a constant turn. It's a constant blow. It's ever blowing. All right? For no end. For what purpose? Well, you're like, well, it's to blow that tree down. Well, really? Is that the purpose behind it? Because it also blows the next tree down. Well, okay. Well, it blows it. Oh, okay. So what is the purpose of it? It's just a constant blow. The sun coming up, the sun going down. It's just a constant cycle. And then when you get to that of the river, I was blown away by this because I used to think that this was talking about that where the water is brought up out by the sun. What's that called?
Evaporation.
Thank you. We'll go with evaporation. And so with evaporation, that's really not what this is talking about. What this next verse is talking about, it's talking about how the river just continuously flows into the ocean. It just always flows. It's just always flowing. Without purpose, it's just always flowing. Watch this. You ready? He says in verse 7, all the rivers, all, see the word all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. It just continues to flow. I don't know if you've ever tried to fill up a bucket with a hole. I have one time, and it was kind of sad. I just didn't know I had a hole in it, okay? And you're just filling it up, and you're like, what's going on? This is weird. Why is it not filling up? Pointless. Without purpose. Meaningless. Yeah. Constant flow.
Powerful.
It does. Without purpose. It just keeps coming. It's an ever flow. He says here, he says that you and I, we need to be reminded, and I'm going to take you over to Romans here in a minute. It says, unto the place from which the rivers come, thither, love that King James, thither they return again. It's just a constant, monotonous, it's a constant meaningless, it's just constantly flowing. My commentator said that Paul was one of the greater ones that was able to describe this as well over in the New Testament. And he describes that over in Romans. So I'm going to flip over there if you want to flip as well. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans 8, he talks about this very thing, about that of creation. Romans chapter 8, and we'll start reading in verse 19. Let's start in verse 18. He says this, for I reckon that the suffering... I'll wait till you get there. Sorry. I can pause. I know how to breathe. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Watch this. Are you ready? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting. He says this, for the creature was made subject to vanity. There's that word, to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of whom he has been subjected to the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. Groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Until when? Well, until the time that Christ returns. It's a constant groaning. It's a hey, the birds constantly are dying. The trees are constantly dying. Everything is dying. The fish are dying. I watched the other day where I was told this, so I'm giving it to you. If you catch an endangered fish, all right, like a fish that shouldn't be kept, then what you do, even if it dies while you're catching it, you just return it, put it back in the water, all right? I know, let the turtles eat it, whatever, okay? Don't put it, because in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, but it's dead. I should take it home with me. We could eat this fish. But I'm telling you, the game warden will say otherwise, okay? So that's just a side note. I'm trying to help you out to have purpose in your life, because you'll find purpose real quick when he comes to your cooler, all right? And so what takes place here is Paul is describing it as best that he can and reminding us that, you ready? That life is just a constant cycle. It's just a constant cycle. People are being born. People are dying. It says one point, I don't know how they get this, but like 1.72 people die every second. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, two people dying every second. Two people, almost two people. I don't know how they get one and a half. Maybe it's the big guys. I don't know. We're going to be on big guys this whole time. All right. And I didn't even look over him this time. That way I kept it clean. But we have to think about that. I go back to the question. My question that I asked at the very beginning was this. You ready? What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? You ought to be able to answer that. What are you building your life on? And then you've got to ask yourself, you ready? Is there purpose in my life? Because I will tell you, if you're claiming to be a believer, then you ought to be able to answer that yes. And then you ought to be able to answer what you're building your life on. If you're building your life on your success, if you're building your life on your money, if you're building your life on anything other than that of God, it is futile. It is vain. It is vanity. Does your life ever feel like this? You ready? You wake up, you work, you sleep, you repeat. Guys, I'm telling you, there was a time where I just cut Fox News off. I'd get home and I'd cut Fox News on and I would watch Fox News. Now, this is probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But you'd cut it on and you'd watch it until 11 o'clock. And then you go to bed. Man, I began to get miserable. Like, I was like, this is terrible. Like, all you're doing is just, and you ready? We can get ourselves in that repetition to where I got to know. I have to know everything. I have to know everything about Johnny, and I have to know everything about Bobby, and I have to know everything. But my question to you is this, you ready? You'll never find purpose in that. You can have all the knowledge you want about everybody's business that you want, but listen, you ready? You'll never find purpose in it. You'll never find fulfillment in it because you'll always want to know something more about somebody else. But you ready? My question is as a believer, why do you not want to know more about God? Why don't we spend that time and energy? We're trying to find out more about somebody or somebody else. Why don't we pour that into God's Word? Why don't we pour that in knowing what God wants for our lives? What is God's will for your life? Do you know? You ought to be able to answer that. You ought to be able to answer what God's will is for your life. Just like, you ready? What are you building your life on? And so what happens is when you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8, if you want to mark in your Bibles, I believe this to be true by my studies, is that really verse 8, the first part there, all things are full of labor, you ought to put a mark there. Because in reality, that is summing up from verses 4 to verse 7. Everything, listen to me guys, all things are full of labor. And that word labor there, really, all things are full of weariness. All these things are just weary. It's just constant cycle. It's just a constant go. It's a constant go, 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 go. And you become weary of it. I don't know how y'all are at your house, but man, there's sometimes I feel like I'm going all the time on Saturdays. Like what are you doing on Saturday? What are we doing here? We're going here. We're going there. We're going there. And you ready? You almost feel like it's just a constant go. And you have to ask yourself, you ready? Hold on a minute. When is it that you pause? When is it that you as a man, you pause, you open up this book, and you allow this book to just feed you, and you're not just constantly go, 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 go. Because everything that we've talked about that the world has to offer, it will bring nothing but weariness to you. I do go back, and it's not that I want the days of old, all right? But I do remind myself that I find it strange that my parents were able to carve out on Sunday a time to always go to Grandma's house and have a meal with Grandma. Remember, the microwave was supposed to make us have more time. But the problem is then we got the microwave, and then we got the, 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 and then you ready, guys? And we just got to keep buying more and more and more, and then we got to ask ourselves, did it really save us any time at all? Has it given us anything more to where we can have purpose within our lives? No, not really. It's probably been a year now since I saw my grandfather. Because you just go. And so we see there in that first part of verse 8, we see where the preacher, he's trying to remind us, he's trying to show us that, you ready? That he's tying everything together between verse 3 and verse 7. He's saying everything is futile. Everything, that all these things that are mentioned is nothing but weariness. And then what he does is he breaks down verse 8 and he gives you three scenarios. He says this, he says, man cannot utter it. What can he not utter? Guys, There's just times you can't explain. You can't explain life. I remind myself in the book of James, we're reminded that we have been given two of these and one of these. And you can really tell a wise person when a wise person listens well and speaks few words. A foolish person is someone that listens little and speaks tons of words and speaks foolishly. Like today when my daughter would have texted me and she would have listened to that young man, Charlie Kirk, right? Got them mixed up. Charlie Kirk, and as she would message me, she would say, "Dad, he's been shot." I would say, "Well, honey, this does remind us of the brevity of life. Dad, he's dead." And I would say, "Sweetheart, remember, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Yes, we can be sad, but remind ourselves, God's word says, I will not grieve as a man that has no hope. I will grieve as a man that will see him again, because I grieve as a man with hope." And guys, listen to me. We as men, we need to be understanding this. You ready? That there's times we're just not able to comprehend. We're not able to speak on behalf of what the world does. And what we can do is we can just remind people, my God is in control. My God's a good God. My God's are you ready? He's a sovereign God. My God wills good. Listen, and the good He wills is good in His eyes, not my eyes. We speak of that matter because then He says this. He says these words. He says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. Because why? Because we think if we could just see something else, if we think we could just see something else, nor the ear filled with hearing. If I could just listen to another podcast, if I could just listen to another preacher, if I could just listen, if I could just hear, if I could just sit down and hear just one more teacher teach, if I could hear. And you ready? He says these words. He says, nor the ear filled with hearing. You'll never be fulfilled in that. There's got to be a day where you've got to tell yourself that there's never. You ready? I just won't be able to hear it all. The eyes are not filled with seeing. The ears are not filled with hearing. People, listen to me. People are never satisfied. They're never satisfied. And what we need to understand is that we do need to find satisfaction, but the satisfaction we need is only found in God. That's the purpose of our life. What are you founding your life upon? I'm founding my life upon that of God. We want new things because He says this. Ready? The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Isn't it crazy that we're always wanting something new, but history just repeats itself? You ready? Go over to Gordon's, and I promise you, you'll see a pile of vehicles that have been crushed, but one day they were someone's dream. They drove off of a car lot, and they spent 7 years of their life paying for that thing. And now it's being crushed. There's nothing new. There's everything. Listen, in history, it just repeats itself. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. And you ready? You never find satisfaction. It's just weariness. And he says this, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, if it hath been already of old time, which was before us. Now watch verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. Without God, life feels like you're just chasing a wind. And he says in verse 11, you ready? Speaking of those things, while you ready? While we might think those things are amazing, really, what purpose do those things have? Are you really willing to work an extra 10 hours a week so that you can have a $80,000, $90,000 vehicle? Are you really willing to say, yes, it's worth me working and it's worth me to do more so that I can have this? Now, listen, you ready? Anything wrong with a new vehicle? No, man, you got to have a new. I understand that. What I'm asking you, though, is this. Is that your life? Is that purpose? Is that your purpose? Is I got to have a new vehicle. I got to have a new car. I've got to have the latest gadget. I got to have. And I'm going to work extra for that. I was reminded one time by my bride. Listen, you ready? Money is not everything if you lose your family. I was working every weekend. You make a ton of money putting in windows, y'all. I could make a ton. It's cash. All right. And as a young family, cash is good. But you ready? But if you ain't got a family, what's the point of working? You need your family, man. You need that. Listen, that is your purpose. You've been given a family. You ready? You should be pouring into that family. Now, you ready? Yeah, go work. Make a good living for your family. But listen, ultimately, if you've lost that, or if you've lost whatever purpose that God is, then all of that is futile. It's meaningless. So here's some questions for you. Ready? Because I know what time it is. Where do men in our culture today look for meaning? Where do men, I'm talking about men, all right? Not boys. Boys, they find their meaning in video games and playing and eating bonbons and drinking root beer. Although that's beside the point. Hey, you ready? Do I love a video game? Man, I love it. You know what? There's nothing wrong with it. I can turn on a Call of Duty and I can shoot people. I love to bring out my stress and try to relieve it with shooting people. But I'm talking about the ones that's day in, day out. You spend 3 or 4 hours every day, 5 hours, 6 hours, and you're ready? And as a believer, you are never in God's Word. What's the purpose? Where do men in our culture today look for meaning? Where? Tell me.
Social media.
Self. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Careers. Sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sports. There's dads that find their meaning and purpose in life through that of their sons or daughters playing the sports that they've forced them to play, pretty much. Yeah. So then I ask the question, what do those things ultimately fail to satisfy? Why do those things ultimately fail to satisfy? I'll talk about the last one I just did. Go. Who said it? They don't last.
There's always somebody better at sports. There's always a better dad. There's always a better television show. There's always a better car.
Yeah.
Tractor, whatever.
It's not what we were created for. Hey, get this, dads. All right, I'm talking to the dads. Just think about this. If all your life is consumed with your kids, don't forget one day they become 18 and they move out of the house. We're going to do that in parenting class. You ought to come. Hey, you ready? All you're doing is just pouring all of your time. You're traveling with your kid all over every weekend. Just play ball. Well, guess what? One day the kid's going to go, I don't want to play ball no more. Or they're going to age out. And then what do? Your purpose has been nothing more than that of playing ball. It's meaningless. It's futile. Hey, you ready? It's like chasing the wind. How does knowing Christ transform even the ordinary, listen to this, repetitive parts of life? I'll ask that again, because that was interesting. How does knowing Christ transform even the ordinary, repetitive parts of life?
It's purposeful.
And if it's not Christ-centered, then your overtime is, I'm going to go buy me a boat. Although boats are wonderful, don't get me wrong, but the best day of a boater's life is the day they buy and the day they sell it. But go ahead. Amen. That's right. Buy a big boat. Yeah, amen. That's true, though. I had an auto mechanic guy in Wilkesboro say this. He says, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, Scott. He said, even the ones that are unwilling to tithe or give to the Lord, all right, they end up giving it to me so that I can give it to the church. I mean, just think about it. I mean, he's thinking through this thing. He's saying, okay, you've got someone that's unwilling to, whether you want to believe in the tithe or you want to just believe in the offering, I really don't care. You ought to be giving back to the Lord, all right, in whatever fashion you want to do it. Now, whether you want to give it to the Lord or not, all right, ultimately you're going to give it to Him to fix your car, and then He's going to go give it to the Lord. I mean, it's just Him thinking through the ordinary, repetitive parts of life. How is it, unless you're ready, how is knowing Christ transforming that in your life? And it ought to be. It ought to be transforming how much time we spend on our TVs, on social media. It ought to be transforming the time that we waste. Because you remember Ephesians chapter 5, my Bible would tell me in the verse 16 that you and I, we ought to redeem the time. Make the most of the time. The days are evil, gentlemen. Hey, the days are evil. And there's a Bathsheba out there for every one of us, I'm sure. The days are evil. You better be aware, you better be awake, ready for duty, sir. Why? Because Satan's a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour. He's wanting to destroy. And if he can destroy you and your family, then you know what? He's done well.
Able to withstand the wild over
there. Or soaking up 6 hours of Fox News.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares about video games? But we have tons of people in our churches that just waste their time. Yeah. Amen. Here's the verse that he was talking about. You ready? Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for all things. So everything you do, gentlemen, you ought to be doing it for the glory of God. Yeah. Not just church. See, that's the disconnect. I think a lot of men, we come and we're this way at church. We're like, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. And then Monday, you flip it off. Well, that's not living for the Lord. That's not purpose. You're not being driven by God. You're being driven by self, is what you said. So here's my challenge. You ready? And then we'll pray. Pick one area, gentlemen. Listen to this. Pick one area of your life this week where you've been chasing satisfaction from God, apart from God. I'll say it again. Pick one area of your life this week where you've been chasing satisfaction apart from God. Maybe it's your work. Listen to this. Maybe it's your bank account, or it's the need for respect, and surrender that to God or ask Him to give it eternal purpose. Work in of itself is not bad. Work was good. Work was given to Adam before the fall. So I ask you, you ready? How can you take what God has given to you, that job, and you ready? And begin to use it for eternal purposes. That's pretty good. I like that. Because now I'm going to work not to gossip. I'm not going to work to tell the dirty jokes. I'm not going to work to be the cool guy. I'm going to work for a purpose. Are you ready, guys? Hey, I'm going to work to share the gospel. I know there's lost people there. I know there's lost individuals. Are you ready? If I get fired because of that, I think God would be okay with that if we're doing it with some mindset, okay? Don't go stupid on me, all right? Like some have known. So don't do that. But I will say this. You can go and you can share. You know the parameters at your work. Everybody goes to lunch. That's a great time to do it. But that's usually the time we talk about whatever we've done on the weekend. Have purpose, gentlemen. Look for an area in your life this week where you know that it is chasing satisfaction apart from God. And challenge yourself with that. How can I change it? Here's your good one. Ready? Look at your phone and look at the amount of hours that you spend on certain things. It's on there, okay? Go do that. Just go. And you're like, yeah, but I'm just looking at Marketplace. Okay, well, if you're looking at Marketplace for 3 hours and you're spending 10 minutes in God's Word, you've missed it. Go look at it. Go look at your phone. Look at the hours that you're spending on whatever you're spending on. And then ask yourself, Lord, how can I change that to where I could spend more time in your word and less time doing this? Do I really need this? Because it's meaningless, I'm sure. Because you're just going to spend your money on Marketplace. Because men like, I don't have Facebook for Facebook. I've got it for Marketplace. Yeah, whatever, Jack. I know better. What can you do for the Lord? Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise your name. Lord, I pray you be with these men. Lord, be with myself. Lord, it's a us here. And Father, we all need, Lord, to take inventory of our lives. Lord, we need to take inventory of that, of what we are chasing after. And Lord, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, is this really going to bring, Lord, the satisfaction that is eternal? Or Lord, are we chasing after things that is meaningless? Lord, that's going to end up at Gordon's one day to be just destroyed. God, I pray, may each one of these men in this room, myself included, that God, we live a life with purpose. And God, we're every day we wake up acknowledging that, Father, you are God. Lord, you are King of our lives. And that, Lord, we want to live a life every day for you, not just Sunday, every day. While we're at work, while we're at home, while we're at the marketplace, wherever it may be, that we're living a life with purpose. And God, be with us as we go through this study. Lord, use it, Lord, and change our lives because we need it, Father. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.